Hello, this is Irene Bullard. I will be reading the Bloomington Normal Pantograph dated Tuesday, February 14th. And happy Valentine's to you all. Cases of flu spike in BN, workplaces, schools, note absences while more visit hospitals. Cases of influenza and other respiratory illnesses have risen dramatically in the past few days, leading to increased absences at schools, staffing adjustments at urgent care centers, and pleas for medical professionals for people to stay home if they are sick. In the past 3 to 4 days, it's been unbelievable the amount of positive flu cases that we have had, said Donna Yoder, a nurse at Advocate Medical Group Immediate Care in Bloomington. Yoder, a nurse for 40 years, added, "This is one of the busiest years for flu I can remember. I'm not sure why." Dr. Roberto Cipolla, lead physician for OSF, prompt care locations in Bloomington Normal, said, "All our prompt care sites have been extremely busy for the last couple weeks." But Cipolla said, "It's rather typical for this time of year. February through mid-March is when flu season here reaches its peak. Each prompt care site in Bloomington Normal has been averaging 70 to 80 patients each weekday and 90 to 100 patients each Saturday and Sunday," Cipolla said Monday. 80 to 90% of those patients have respiratory illnesses such as flu, bronchitis, sinusitis, pneumonia, and strep throat, with 30 to 40% of those patients also having diagnosed flu or flu-like symptoms that haven't been verified as flu through testing, he said. "We schedule more staff during the weekend when we know the volumes are higher," he said. Flu cases began increasing at immediate care at the start of February, but have spiked in the past few days, Yoder said. "We're seeing 50 patients a day at immediate care in Bloomington, with one quarter to one half having flu symptoms," Yoder said. "The rest have strep throat or gastroenteritis, norovirus, whose symptoms are diarrhea and vomiting. We've added a physician assistant to help with the increased demand," she said. "I think everyone is seeing an elevation of kids being sent home. But it's not out of the ordinary for February," said Susie Markham, curriculum chair for school nurses for Unit 5 and also school nurse at Fairview and Grove Elementary Schools. "There are pockets of kids getting sick as this runs through families," Markham said. "The high schools are being hit hard, and some elementary schools are hit hard. Some children have flu or flu-like illnesses, meaning they have flu symptoms, but flu has not been verified by testing. Some have norovirus symptoms, diarrhea, and vomiting, along with the flu. Other students just have norovirus, and some have strep," Markham said. "Some people getting flu have had the flu vaccine. Some have not," Yoder said. "Those who haven't had the vaccine generally get sicker," she said. "We want people to take the flu seriously," Cipolla said. "While most people are flu sick for a week, influenza can lead to pneumonia and be life-threatening for the young, people with compromised immune systems, and the elderly. We do understand that it's difficult for parents to take off work," Markham said. "But we need to partner together to break this cycle of influenza, strep, and norovirus. Adults should stay home from work, and children should stay home from school if they have a fever of 100 degrees or more, diarrhea, or vomiting within the previous 24 hours," Markham said. "People also should stay home if they have uncontrolled coughing or any other symptoms that would make it difficult for them to concentrate at work or school and would mean that they would be passing germs to others. Don't return to work or school until you are free of fever, diarrhea, or vomiting for at least 24 hours without the use of medicine and are able to concentrate again," Markham said. Reduce your risk. If you're among Central Illinoisans who have not gotten a flu or other respiratory illness so far this winter, you are lucky. Here are steps that you can take to try to continue your lucky streak. Boost your immune system by maintaining a healthy diet that includes fruits and vegetables. Get enough rest, hydration, and exercise. Get a flu shot. It's not too late. Wash your hands frequently with soap and water. Use antibacterial gel and apply disinfectant wipes to surfaces. Sneeze and cough into your sleeve. Stay home if you're sick. Treat your systems with over-the-counter medicine, hydration, and rest. Use a vaporizer. If you're not better after 5 days, or if you have symptoms of flu, fever, headache, body aches, exhaustion, chest discomfort, and cough, call your doctor. If you have flu, you may be prescribed antiviral medicine that can reduce the duration and the intensity of the flu if taken within 48 hours of the start of symptoms. ISU performers fly high. Gamma Phi Circus prepares to take stage at Las Vegas Festival. Rebecca Engels has never flown on an airplane before, but this week she will not only fly to Nevada, she will fly above a Las Vegas stage hanging onto a witch's broom. The broom is actually a trapeze bar that is part of an act the Illinois State University Junior will be performing at a circus arts competition. The Bloomington resident is one of 5 members of ISU's Gamma Phi Circus who will be taking part in the Vegas International Variety Act Festival, a competition bringing together amateur and professional circus performers from around the world. In addition to the competition, there will be seminars on various circus arts such as stilt walking and trapeze. ISU was invited to participate in this first ever U.S. circus competition, said Ivan Stoynev, assistant circus director. It is in the heart of show business, Stoynev said of Viva Fest. It will be good exposure for the university and for the students. Engels, who is majoring in exercise science and Spanish, is teamed with junior Maddie Schaefer, a legal studies and English studies major from Frankfurt, in an act on the dance trapeze inspired by the Broadway show Wicked. Engels also sings in the act. 3 other students are performing an act inspired by the Broadway show Cats that combines the Lyra hoop and Sir Wheel. They are senior Savannah Wetzel, a fashion design and theater production major from Bloomington, Joseph Kearns, a senior in elementary education from Bloomingdale, and Allison Tai, a junior in physical education and teacher education from Glenview. Both acts take the student performers 10 to 15 feet or more above the stage as they spin, turn, and fly in various choreographed poses that require strength, flexibility, and teamwork. It's going to be great, said Stoynev. They're well prepared, I'm sure of that. In Las Vegas, mechanical winches will move the hoops and the trapeze up and down. But as the students practiced recently at Horton Fieldhouse, their Gamma Phi Circus teammates worked together, pulling and letting down the ropes that move the pieces of apparatus. Mechanical devices like the ones used in Vegas are expensive, said circus director Marcus Alawan. We don't have money, we have manpower, he said with a smile. Wetzel put her fashion design education to work in designing her colorful cat costume, which she hand-painted. She was up until 4 a.m., the day of the first dress rehearsal, finishing her multicolor wig. Wetzel said the wig alone took 6 or 7 hours to prepare and assemble, not counting tying together small bundles of yarn. I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of people who have performed in a professional setting, said Wetzel, whose mother was part of the Gamma Phi Circus when she attended ISU. I want to see their journey and take their take on circus acts. Ty said preparing for the Vegas competition and the April 7th to 8th circus at Redbird Arena has meant practicing about 20 hours a week, plus attending classes, doing homework, and trying to find time to eat and sleep. A former competitive gymnast, Ty has been doing circus activities since she was 10. I like the aspect of performing. It's a whole new world for me. He likes the different career choices available since becoming involved in the circus, but he said, no matter what he chooses, I plan to return to teaching at some point. like Wetzel's mother, Schaefer's mother was a Gamma Phi circus performer. I like how, even if something goes wrong, people try again, said Schaefer. It's a really powerful environment. Engels likes the opportunities to learn and have fun with Gamma Phi, and also to gain leadership experience. You become a close group of friends, she said. State Watch. Sites to offer electronic donations. Illinois soon will give visitors a chance to donate online to free admission historic sites such as Abraham Lincoln's tomb and the old state capitol. The State Journal Register reports that such sites have relied on suggested donations from visitors, but they haven't had a way to pay online. The new electronic payment system is expected to be operating in a couple of weeks. The Illinois Historic Preservation Agency collected more than $494,000 in donations at 22 historic sites last year. Ryan Prenn of the agency tells the newspaper that Illinois is behind other nearby states in offering an electronic payment option. He says the online donations will go toward outstanding maintenance. Illinois has gone years without a capital budget for infrastructure improvements. Official seeks Dem nomination. A retired Southwest Illinois school official says he plans to seek the Democratic nomination for governor in 2018. Robert Diber, 60, is the Madison County Regional Superintendent of Schools. He says the state faces a real financial crisis, including the ongoing budget impasse, and the governor's chief responsibility is to submit a spending plan. He says his candidacy will focus on compromising collaboration. Two Chicago area Democrats have announced intentions to run. Chicago Alderman Amaya Pawar and Chris Kennedy, son of the late Senator Robert F. Kennedy. Republican Governor Bruce Rauner plans to seek a second term. Today in history. Today is Tuesday, February 14th, the 45th day of 2017. There are 320 days left in the year. This is Valentine's Day. Today's highlights. On February 14th in 1967, Aretha Franklin recorded her cover of Otis Redding's Respect at Atlantic Records in New York. The Turtles' single, Happy Together, was released on the White Whale label. On this date in 1778, the American ship Ranger carried the recently adopted Stars and Stripes to a foreign port for the first time as it arrived in France. In 1849, President James K. Polk became the first U.S. chief executive to be photographed while in office, as he posed for Matthew Brady in New York City. In 1859, Oregon was admitted to the Union as the 33rd state. Thought for today, I am living on hope and faith, a pretty good diet when the mind will receive them. Written by Edwin Arlington Robinson, American poet, 1869 to 1935. And today's flick fact. Question, true or false? It's Valentine's Day, and women in Bloomington Normal and McLean County are in one of the best places in America to find a man. The answer is, statistically, that is true. While women outnumber men across America, that is not the case here, according to the 2010 Census Abstract. There are 87,281 men in McLean County, says the census, and only 81,330 women. By 2030, the census estimates that gap will widen, with 104,459 men to be here and 94,643 women. Rail line could become trail. Path from Mansfield to Bloomington eyed for possible new uses. A dormant Norfolk Southern rail line could become the first recreational trail from the Twin Cities to several nearby communities. The railroad plans to abandon 30 miles of former track between Bloomington and Mansfield this year, clearing the way for a variety of possible uses, including a trail, said McLean County Administrator Bill Wasson. That could be water mains, sewer mains, utility corridors, fiber optics for broadband or telecommunications, or future uses that we haven't thought of yet, he said. The big benefit is a continuous corridor for public infrastructure. The line has not been used since at least 2003, Wasson said. Mansfield is located off of Interstate 74 in northern Piatt County, about 20 miles north of west of Champaign. If the property were turned into a trail, it would be the first from Bloomington to Downs, Leroy, Farmer City, and Mansfield, Wasson said. This would absolutely provide us with the opportunity to reach different communities with recreational trail access in a very similar fashion to the developments that we've seen along Route 66, he said. Municipalities and the state are developing a continuous trail more than 20 miles long from north of Lexington to Funk's Grove. Old Route 66 stretches about 50 miles across the county, and officials envision a historic Route 66 bike trail running 370 miles from Chicago to the state line. A typical railroad abandonment can take 6 months, but 3 or 4 is a more realistic expectation for this one, said Lawada Porsche, abandonments coordinator for Norfolk Southern. The process includes notifying local communities, which happened on January 6th, conducting an environmental and historical report, publishing legal notifications, and negotiating with municipalities for the land. This one has gotten a lot of interest from a history that the rail line was going to be abandoned in 2004, and then they decided not to do it for business reasons, Porsche said. We're definitely going to do it this time. City okays widening Linden Street. Bloomington Council approves repairs for bridge lane updates. The Bloomington Public Works Department will move forward with plans to reconstruct the Linden Street Bridge and widen 3 blocks of the street this year. The Bloomington City Council voted unanimously Monday night to resurface and widen Linden Street from Locust to Empire Streets from 26 feet wide to 30 feet and use motor vehicle taxes to repair and widen the bridge. The council approved Public Works staff's recommended option to widen the street to 30 feet to produce 2 10-foot traffic lanes and 1 7-foot parking lane and space to add new curbs and gutters. The cost is estimated at $625,000. The staff did not recommend an option to widen the street to 39 feet to include bicycle lanes for an additional $375,000. And that is okay with the local cycling advocacy group Bike Blono. There's no reason to spend $375,000 to add bike lanes when the street would already receive an A rating for bicycle friendliness, said Michael Gorman, who serves as co-chair of Illinois Wesleyan University's Bicycle Committee and treasurer for Bike Blono. Cyclists will be perfectly comfortable here without bike lanes. The neighbors don't want any more widening than what is absolutely necessary, said Gorman. Kurt Hoferl, owner of Apartment Mart at 912 North Linden Street, supported widening Linden Street. If you have been on that street, it is in disrepair, he said. Public Works Director Jim Karch and his staff have researched this project extensively and came to this conclusion. The council hires these people for their expertise, so I think these people know the best thing to do most of the time. Marty Siegel spoke against widening the street, saying it was wrong to move traffic into the neighborhood to accommodate business development. In a separate 9-0 vote, the council adopted a resolution required by the Illinois Department of Transportation authorizing the use of motor fuel tax funds to reconstruct the Linden Street Bridge located between Emerson Street and Dawes Place. Currently, the 4-lane bridge is restricted to 1 lane in both directions because of structural concerns. In May 2015, the council approved expanding the bridge's span to accommodate a future Constitution Trail bicycle underpass along Sugar Creek. There are currently no plans for the trail to be constructed, but the bridge is being widened to accommodate it in the future, said Karch. The city will be seeking bids for the project that is estimated to cost $1.8 million. Construction is slated to begin in the spring and be completed before the end of the year. In other action, the council tabled, for 30 days, a vote on limiting new dock permits to only those who lease lakefront property at Lake Bloomington. The delay will allow the city staff to hold a public meeting to explain the proposed changes in more detail. Eureka Class sends letters, supplies to students in Africa. A third grade class at Davenport Elementary School has some new friends in, of all places, Zambia, Africa. Melody Minger and other teachers at Davenport have been emphasizing the catchphrase, "It's cool to be kind." The project was born when Fiona Rock, a student in Minger's classroom, connected that motto with personal experiences in her own extended family. "We wanted to come up with something that created a little more excitement at our school," said Fiona, whose cousins and their parents are missionaries at Life Song Orphanage in Zambia, Africa. They were in the United States from September to January. Life Song provides Christian education, daily meals, life skills, discipleship for vulnerable children, and sustainable business for their caregivers. Life Song Farms, Zambia, with the support of Plant Sciences Incorporated, has been growing strawberries and selling them to local grocers since 2010. Fiona invited the Eric Wiegand family to speak to her classmates about their time in Zambia. Fiona and friend Lucy Grimm asked Minger if the class could collect items and send gift bags to the children at Life Song. "I think the most moving and meaningful part of this project was that it was student-initiated and student-led," said Minger. "They are the ones who came to me." The girls made a flyer to send home with their classmates asking for help. "The kids really jumped on board," Minger said. "The parents were very generous. Everybody went over the top." Each member of the class wrote a letter to a particular student at the orphanage in Zambia. The third graders packed and personally labeled bags for each student in what would be the equivalent of third grade at Life Song. The bags were packed into bigger boxes and taken to Africa by Fiona's cousins, the Wiegands. "We felt really good about ourselves because we felt we were doing something good to make someone else's day," Fiona said. Fiona's mother, Maribeth Rock, said that it is in Fiona's nature to be good to others. "She always wants to help people," she said. "She is just a very loving little girl." When the gift bags finally reached their destination, Maribeth received word. The children were surprised and happy to receive them. "It especially touched their teacher because her husband had just passed away," Maribeth said. Life Song workers took photos and sent them to Minger, who hopes to keep the connection going, possibly by exchanging letters to Skyping with the class. But until the next contact, Minger is happy with the way it all turned out. "Everyone was really sweet about helping," she said. "It was really neat to pair these third graders up with each other, completely on the other side of the world. We had a lot of fun doing it." Prison in Pontiac on lockdown after injury. Union says officer stabbed on Sunday. Pontiac Correctional Center was on full lockdown Monday following a stabbing incident on Sunday that sent a correctional officer to the hospital. The officer was treated and released, according to Nicole Wilson, Director of Communications for the Department of Corrections. Wilson said the department is investigating what happened and would not release further details at this time. But William Lee, president of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Local 494, the union that represents Pontiac prison workers, said the correctional officer was stabbed in the head with a sharpened weapon around noon Sunday. "No one else was injured," said Lee, who also works as a guard at the prison. He said the injured correctional officer was not at work on Monday. Lee declined further comment. The prison also was placed on lockdown in August after four correctional officers and two lieutenants were injured in an altercation with inmates. All were treated and released. Following the August incident, the union organized an informational picket outside the prison that questioned policy changes that the union said made the prison a more dangerous place to work. Cop hurt in attempted robbery in Bloomington. A Bloomington police officer suffered a minor injury during the arrest of a man following an attempted armed robbery Monday morning in downtown Bloomington. Bloomington Police Officer Scott Lake said police were called around 10 a.m. to the Subway restaurant at 109 West Jefferson Street for what was described as a robbery report. A man came inside and demanded money from the register and an employee, Lake said. No weapons were displayed or implied, Lake said, and the worker did not give the man any money. When police arrived, they found a man fitting the suspect's description outside the business. During questioning, the man became combative, and an officer received a minor injury to his hand during the arrest, Lake said. The suspect told police he was homeless. The pantograph does not name suspects until they are formally charged in such cases. He is expected to appear in McLean County Circuit Court today. A pantograph employee said there were as many as 9 police cars at the scene at one point, and the street was blocked during the incident. The street was reopened a short time later. Area calendar. Today, from 5:30 to 6 p.m., there will be a Stand Up for Social Justice candlelight vigil on the front lawn of Bloomington Center for Performing Arts. Also from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Bloomington Public Library Community Room, there will be a blind date with a book, Valentine's Day Party for Teens, grades 6 to 12. On Wednesday, Tech It Out, 5 to 7 p.m. at the Normal Public Library, Lego, We Do Robotics, Ozobots, Makey Makeys, and others, for kids ages 6 to 12. Here is a theater review by Patricia S. Stiller. Pain and humor mix in profit. Abraham Lincoln once said, "With the fearful strain that is on me night and day, if I did not laugh, I should die." As I reflect on Stephen Karam's Sons of the Prophet, now on stage at Heartland Theater Company, I am struck by how beautifully Mr. Karam's painful comedy embodies Mr. Lincoln's sentiment. Humor in times of strife is often our savior. In this sensitive family drama, we meet Joseph Duehi, a young Lebanese-American who was an Olympic hopeful until he was sidelined by injury. Painfully private, the young man is the hub of his suffering family, utilizing all of his strength, both physical and spiritual, to hold his clan together, even though he himself is falling apart. Joseph, his brother Charles, and his cantankerous Uncle Bill are all struggling to recover from the sudden death of the boy's father because there are so many unanswered questions. Though the official cause of his death was a heart attack, he had been involved in an auto accident just days before. Did one event cause the other? Worse yet, evidence is now mounting against the high school football hero who inadvertently may have caused the accident by placing the opposing team's mascot in the middle of the road. It seems Mr. Duehi swerved to avoid hitting what he thought was a deer. It was fake, and lost control of his vehicle. Under the direction of John Ficca, Sons of the Prophet, which one critic called the funniest play about human suffering that you're likely to see, features a talented ensemble by Kyle Chandler Fitzgerald as Joseph. Tim Olsen is fascinating as Charles, often underestimated due to a birth defect. Charles, as portrayed exquisitely by Olsen, is introverted yet bold. Jeremy Stiller as the elder Duehi is delightfully irascible, and Nancy Dickerson as the troubled Gloria is endearing and aloof. You can catch this play at the Heartland Theater Company in Normal, 7:30 p.m., February 16th to the 18th, and the 23rd to the 25th. And at 2 p.m., February 19th and 25th. We'll take a short break now.